They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show. This is David James. I'm your host. How is everything going with everybody out there? I hope that you're getting the most out of the shows, and I hope that you're learning a lot, and that you are able to decipher a lot of things that you wouldn't have otherwise known about. All these different things that are happening in the shows are really, I'm learning a lot in it, I know that. So I know you must be too. Hang in there, we're going to learn a lot. We're going to continue today with Maurice Pinet's The Plot Against the Church, or The Plot Against Christianity. When they say the church, it's a Catholic document. But it's a plot against Christianity, no doubt. And we're in chapter, if you have this book, we're in chapter, on page 138, on chapter 7, The Deicide People. And we had read a little bit of this, and then I had to close. So I'll start right here. The audacity of the new friends of Israel verges on the limits of the incomprehensible, for they not only dare to contradict the apostles of Jesus, but, as will be proved in what follows by means of texts from the New Testament, which reveal that Christ accused the Jews and not the Romans of wishing to kill him. Number two, that the Jews and not the Romans were those who had the intention of killing Jesus and who upon different occasions attempted to destroy him before his passion and death. Number three, that the Jews and not the Romans were the instigators and truly responsible for the crime. Number four, that the apostles accused the Jews and not the Romans of the death of Jesus. First thesis. Christ accused the Jews and not the Romans of wishing to kill him. Proof. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, the apostle relates that Jesus, in a verbal dispute with some Jews, said to them, verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. And afterwards, as the apostle alludes in verse 40 of the same chapter, Jesus Christ says anew to the Jews, But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, This did not Abraham. And in another chapter, he said, in another chapter of the said Holy Gospel, in the seventh, the favorite disciple points out that Jesus, having gone on a certain day to the temple in order to preach, said to the Jews, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" In no passage of the holy apostles does it appear that Christ said to the Romans, said that the Romans wished to kill him, but on the contrary, he accused the Jews of wanting to do it. Now you know why they hate Christ, right? Anybody that accuses the Jews of anything, they hate. Okay, back to the thing. Do then the clergy who represent this new kind of Jew-friendly thesis believe that Christ was wrong and that now, in this century, they have just discovered that Jesus Christ could not foresee it, that it was the Romans and not the Jews who wished to kill him? Second thesis, it was the Jews and not the Romans who repeatedly planned and attempted to kill Jesus even before his passion and death. Proofs. The gospel according to Matthew chapter 21 relates to us that Christ, that Jesus, when he had come into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him, and he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" The apostle then tells further of the discussion which Jesus conducted with such high leaders of the Jewish people to close the passage with these two verses. First of all, these are leaders. They're Jewish, Edomite Jews, but they're not leaders of the Jewish people. They're pretending to be Israelites. The Jewish people are not Israelites. And vice versa. These people are a little confused here. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. This passage shows that the intentions of attack did not emanate from irresponsible Jews, but from the respected leaders of the Jewish people, it says it again, who were then the chief priest as well as the Pharisees, who had a decisive influence in the government of the nation. Again, I must say that we're talking about Israel, and Israel is nothing to do with Jews, except that they got into the priesthood and they followed us all through like they are today. Nothing is different. The Jews got into the government. The government is the priesthood. There was no separation of church and state. So these Herod, the Jew, had killed off the Aaronic bloodline, which was a requirement of Israel to be a priest. You had to be of the bloodline of Aaron. And then he placed in the priesthood these Jewish Edomite Pharisees over the people of Israel. But the people of Israel are not Jewish. You see what I'm trying to tell you? I mean, this is how confused the world is, and it's all over the difference between an Israelite and a Jew. And the two are not the same. A Jew is an Edomite, which have always been the enemies of the Israelites. It must be clear about this. But we'll continue. In the Gospel according to Mark chapter 3, one reads the following, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians, see, the Herodians, against him, how they might destroy him. One thus sees that the leading strata of the Jewish people plotted against Jesus to cause his death, and in fact, long before he was led before Pilate, without there being in the Gospels one passage which alludes to an intention or plan of the Romans to do this. You know, we all know that as we've read these Gospels, we know that Pilate washed his hands. He would have nothing to do with this, and left it up to the Jews to decide this so that the blood would be on their heads. John remarks that Jesus had healed the lame man on the Sabbath, and because he did that, the Jews persecuted him. In chapter 5, he says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, capital F again, making himself equal with God. In the Gospel, according to Luke, very interesting, they're accusing him, before I go on from that, think about this. They sought the more to kill him because he said God was his Father, making himself equal to God. I never noticed that before. Very, very interesting. In the Gospel according to Luke, the disciple tells us how Christ was in Nazareth and went on the Sabbath into the synagogue, began to preach, and aroused opposition in many of those present with his preaching. In verse 28 and 29 of the fourth chapter, the evangelist says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And when they rose up, this is verse 29, 2 and 9 is 11, get it? And when they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. So we can see there have been many attempts to kill Jesus Christ, who is the Father Yahweh in the flesh. He is the ever-living God, the Word of God. And they hate this word. They hate truth. The Jews hate truth just as they hate truth today. You can see that. They want to shut everybody's mouths, right? They kill people. They want to shut people's mouths like they wanted to shut his mouth. So it continues here. If they attempted to kill him in his own city, this means that the intention of murdering him was universal and not only restricted to the Jewish leaders of Jerusalem. St. John further reveals in chapter 7, verse 1, after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. See, you can see that the Jews had a certain control over Judea, right? Just like they have a control over the white nations of the world in many ways. In Germany, you can't talk about the truth of the Holocaust or anything. They control it, and they seek to harm anybody that goes against their money-making scheme, their money-making fable. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, that the Holocaust is an industry, a money industry. And like the Jewish mafia and the regular mafia, which is still run by the Jews, one thing you don't do is touch their money. You get it? So now the article, I mean, now the book continues. This passage cannot be clearer. Throughout the whole of Judea, the Jews sought Jesus in order to kill him. But since his hour had not yet come, he preferred not to go into this region. That's because he was wise. If there were various preceding intentions and conspiracies to kill Jesus, then it was also the Jews and not the Romans who hatched the final conspiracy that was to result in his death. The third thesis, the Jews and not the Romans were the instigators and those really responsible for the crime. Proofs. In the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 22, the disciple says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought on how they might kill him." This is pretty amazing. This is pointing out some very important things, I think, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. And I intend on reading the Gospels in the near future here, you know, for all of us, and going through them and commenting on them. And this is the kind of a thing that I'll be sure that I'll be seeing. And it's pretty amazing just how much they wanted to kill him. I mean, we knew the time in John chapter 8 when they picked up stones to kill him after he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." But there's many more times they sought to kill him, obviously. So let's continue. In chapter 11 of the Gospel according to St. John, for its part, is found the following passages. "Then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doeth many miracles.' And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, 'Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not.' Then, from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, walked no more openly among the Jews." You know, I could comment on that, and you know, what I would say is the Jews had such great influence in Judea that what he would not walk, he walked no more openly in Judea is what it means. They're trying to imply in this thing that everyone in this area is a Jew. This is not reality. It's ridiculous. Let's continue. St. Luke says that it was the Jews and not the Romans who bribed Judas to hand Christ over to them. Chapter 22, verse 3. "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot." Now, let me make a little note here to you. Obviously, Satan can enter into people, right? Remember what I was talking about, how it's possible that Donald Trump, that could be? And, you know, many of the stars that you've seen, it's possible that Satan was in those stars, so to speak, like perhaps Elvis, maybe? I really couldn't say. "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot." Now, I don't believe he was surnamed Iscariot. He didn't have a last name. He was Judas of a man of Cariot, Ish, man of Cariot. And this is kind of incorrect here, but whatever. Let's just continue. Then entered Satan into Judas, being of the number of 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. and they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him, and unto him betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. So that he was going to try to get him away from the flock, so to speak. You see, there it is. Here's the devil, the hunter. All right, this is me speaking, not the article. You see, the devil got into the body and he went and communed with his own children, the chief priests, etc., etc., right? This is incredible. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. In other words, he was going to separate him from the multitude, if possible, so that they could take him easily. Now, this is the hunting pack that I spoke about before, how the animals will find some weak thing, although Christ is not weak, but they will find the lamb, so to speak, and they'll run at the flock and separate the lamb from the flock, and then they will take it down. Now, this happens in all kinds of ways in the jungle, so to speak. But that's what you do. You isolate somebody so that they're alone and then take them down. That's the way the hunting is done. Amazing that the devil, you know, he knew that, and that's what he sought to do. And even in this body, he wanted some money. Isn't that interesting? It would be that he would do it for money. Isn't that interesting? So, chapter 18, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered. And his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times, that means oftentimes, resorted thither with his disciples. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Now Annas sent to him, bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. So Annas sent Jesus bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat Passover. Ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? It's not the King of the Jews, it's the King of Judea, is what he was saying. The King of the Israelites. Not Jews. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So you can see that this is no different. I'm commenting now. This is no different than today. They're letting criminals go loose, and they are tying up and harming innocent people. Right? There is nothing that Jesus Christ had done to deserve death or any of these things. And rather than free him, they freed a thief. This is the way of the Jews. See, it was the Jews that were controlling the priesthood. Remember, I said to you that when Yeshua did the miracles, just like it said back a little further back here. When he did miracles, they got upset. But the Israelite people didn't get upset. They were excited and thankful. And so you have to understand the makeup of what's really going on here. And once you do, it'll make pure sense to you. Listen, our people love justice. We love the righteous things. We don't like to free a thief and kill an innocent man. It's not our way. It's not the way our minds work. But it is the way the Jews' minds work. And it should be very clear to you that this is what's going on. So then it says in chapter 19, he relates further that after Pilate had had Jesus scourged, as the Bible annotation of Sio, volume 5, page 255 explains, and Jesus was seen in a condition which would have moved to pity even the wild beasts and softened their hearts. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. You see, the white man finds no fault in him, but the Jew wants to kill him. Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, you understand? Now, listen, he was wearing a purple robe. See how the Jews try to make purple a color of the queers? Can you see that? And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. The Jews were playing a little game right there, weren't they? They knew they could get away with saying something like that, didn't they? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him on either, there it is, and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Let me get this clarified here. Where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. Pilate, like others also who did not belong to the generation of vipers, to use the actual words of Christ, could not imagine to what degree of cruelty of the Jews would reach. For it is something extraordinary, or extraordinary, if you like to say it that way, in the history of mankind. Yes, let me stop right at that thought. What he said here is, Pilate, like others, also who did not belong to the generation of vipers, to use the actual words of Christ, could not imagine to what degree the cruelty of the Jews would reach, for it is something extraordinary in the history of mankind. By their denying of God and Jesus, they fell into the deepest abyss. If they did even with Jesus what they have done, then we can no longer be surprised at the terrible ritual crimes that the Jews practiced for centuries. Now, what I wanted to say about this is the Jews, and I did not originate this, I read this from an article and I put it on my site and everything, and I've been talking about it because I agree with it 100%. What it's saying here is this is something that stands out in history, that these Jews, their degree of cruelty to Jesus Christ. But what's going on now is they're trying to use this fable of the Holocaust to supersede this and say, well, see, the Christians killed 6 million Jews. Well, let me give you a little clue. 1 quadrillion of Jews would not equal Jesus Christ. 5 billion quadrillion Jews would not equal the fingernail of Christ. So this Holocaust garbage, this fable of the Jews, which I call the primary fable of the Jews, is seeking to supersede the Christ killing, that they're the Christ killers, and this, what the Germans had done to the Jews, supposedly, I mean, they're trying to make that supersede the killing of Christ. But it can't, and it won't. But it has in some people's minds, hasn't it? Isn't it interesting how some people believe this nonsense? So, it says here, it continues, if they did even with Jesus what they have done, then we can no longer be surprised at the terrible ritual crimes that the Jews practiced for several centuries, concerning whose monstrous occurrences indisputable evidence is at hand. Even from saints of the Catholic Church. Forget the Catholic Church. Just the Christians. These ritual crimes consisted, as is known, in capturing an innocent Christian child and on Good Friday subjecting it to all tortures of the Passion and causing it to suffer the same cruel death that they had prepared for Christ, who is Yahweh in the flesh. In the unfortunate child, they cold-bloodedly repeated the Passion and death of Jesus. The veneration that is shown in Italy to the child Blessed Simon of Trent and the child Blessed Lorenzino di Marostica has in fact its origin that both were martyred by the Jews. And of course, that's nothing compared to what has really taken place all through time. You look at the abortion table today, ladies and gentlemen. So it continues, all this would seem incredible to us if irrefutable proof of their actual execution were not available, not only during the Middle Ages, but also in recent times. Only a generation of vipers, as Jesus called them, a cold-blooded and merciless people, because I changed the word from race to people because they're not a race, the murderers of Jesus Christ could arrive at such uttermost limits of insanity. Well, of course they're insane. They're race mixed. They have the bloodline inside of them, the poison of Cain, of Edom, and they are abominations. Why did you think that Christ would preach? If Christ wanted to save the whole world, if Jesus, the Father in the flesh, wanted to save the whole world, why would he preach in parables so that these Jews would not understand them? It's something to think about. Right? So they have reached the limits of insanity, which today we still experience in the communist lands where they tortured and killed millions of Christians and Gentiles. Millions of Christians and non-Christians, with all the application of cruelty. As long as the beast, according to the expression used in the Apocalypse of St. John, lay in chains for 1,000 years, from the 5th to the 15th century, well, let's see what he's saying here. As long as the beast, according to the expression used in the Apocalypse of St. John, lay in chains for 1,000 years, in example, from the 5th to the 15th century, it limited itself to crucifying defenseless children, to polluting crucifixes and images of the Holy of the Virgin Mary. Oh boy. To degrading sacred objects, to dirtying the memory of Jesus and Mary with blasphemies and terrible slanders. But when the beast made itself free at the beginning of the 16th century, it finally rolled over the whole world in the 19th and 20th century. Then it no longer restricted itself to only spitting upon and shamefully polluting the crucifixes. It says things like the images of the Virgin Mary, or slandering in horrible manner the memory of the latter. It was no longer necessary, due to the lack of other objects, to consecrate their entire hatred or their entire cruelty upon innocent children. The horrible monster, freed of its chains and free of ecclesiastical and civil laws, which had kept the Jews locked in the ghettos and separated from the Christians, free of the ban of occupying leading posts in the Christian society. Now, let me say something. He's trying to say that it was the 1500s, you know, so it made itself free in the beginning of the 16th century. But I don't know how they're coming out with that, because they weren't let out of the ghettos until 1791 by Napoleon. Now, maybe there's something I don't know that happened in the 1500s, that they were let out of the ghettos, but it just said right here that they were let out of the ghettos. So something doesn't make sense to me here. And it could be just that I misunderstand, but from what I understand, when Napoleon let them out of the ghettos of France to become equal, that's when the big trouble all really began. Now, I do know that I don't know exactly what years. Well, I would say, yeah, in the 1500s, yeah, the Huguenots were slaughtered. So it is true that, you know, the Inquisition, I have to find out exactly what years the Inquisition took place, and I'll try to piece this together eventually. But the Inquisition was definitely Jews killing people, the Jesuit order of the Jews, killing people, innocent people. And the Catholic Church was responsible for much of those deaths. So they can talk about all how the Jews did all this stuff, but they also had a big part in killing many, 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 many white people. So I don't really think it was the 1500s. I think the Catholic Church did all that killing in those periods. And then when the Jews got let out, that was it. So I think they're playing a little game here, in my opinion. So anyway, let's go on with it, though. So it says here that the horrible monster, freed of its chains and free of ecclesiastical and civil laws, which had kept the Jews locked in the ghettos and separated from the Christians, free of the ban of occupying leading posts in Christian society, stormed loose in order to now bring everything into its possession, in order to destroy one after another of the Christian institutions, and to unleash their diabolical hatred against the whole of Christianity, which is being systematically destroyed in the communist lands. The Jewish writer Salvatore Giona confirms the foregoing when he said, "Once the Hebrews were out of the ghetto, they flung themselves upon the conquest of all those material and spiritual positions which had been forbidden to them in the past centuries. Only the hand that martyred Jesus Christ could be capable of organizing Chechas and secret police in order to commit horrible crimes in frightful number, which have not their like in history." St. Mark reports to us in chapter 14 of this gospel, "After 2 days was the feast of Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft." Huh? By craft? What craft might that be? You mean like black magic? Isn't that interesting? An interesting way to put it. The scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests and betrayed him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Oh, so he didn't ask for the money. They just promised to give him the money to do it. But he was going to do it without the money. Very interesting. Before I thought that he really was interested in the money. It is necessary to establish that Judas did not attempt to betray him to the Romans, but to the Jews, because they and not the Romans were interested in killing Christ. St. Mark continues with the passage which proves that it was the spiritual and civil leaders of the Jewish peoples and not the Romans who had Jesus taken prisoner. "And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and scribes and elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And they laid hands on him and took him." Now, let me just stop right there. Of course, the devil would like to kiss a man, wouldn't he? But isn't it interesting that in the Jewish mafia, which is also the Italian mafia, when you receive one of these kisses, it's the kiss of death. They still hold this tradition in the Jewish mafia and the Italian mafia, which is really just one and the same. The Italians have Jewish blood running through them, Arab blood and Negro blood running through them. We're not talking about Italians, we're talking about Italians. You've seen the Godfather movies. You know what this means. And it's a Jewish thing. It's a devil's thing. Because this is what he said. Again, verse 44, which of course is a devil number. "And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And they laid hands on him and they took him. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and scribes. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear witness against him." That's verse 56, 5 and 6 is 11. "But their witness agreed not together." So for many of these filthy devils bear witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. So it was bogus. See, when Jews have something to do with law, you know it's going to be corrupt. And that's what this is. You can see that, right? Because listen to this again. And the chief priests and all the council sought for a witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, they still crucified him, right? And even with this, for many bear witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds in heaven." Then the high priest, notice how he was silent. But when he asked this question, he answered the question. Isn't that interesting? See, he didn't answer the question of any of the charges against him because it was a bunch of nonsense. But when they asked him who he was, he answered and told them who he was. So it says, it continues, "Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, 'What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?' And they all condemned him to be guilty of death." 65, 6 and 5 is 11. We're talking about Jews. "And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, 'Prophesy.' And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands." That's verse 65, 11. These filthy Jews. For 2,000 years long, the whole world has been filled with the horror and cruelty and hardness that has been displayed by the Jews in the torturing of their own God. He's not their own God. The devil is their God. Money is their God. This cruelty, these Catholics don't understand it any more than the Judeo-Christians understand the scriptures and who Jesus is and who the God of the Jews are and who the Jews are. They don't know about two seed line theology. They don't know that there's a war against the offspring of the serpent, which are the Jews, which he said they were the vipers, right? I mean, come on, let's get you, generation of vipers. I mean, how much more clear do you have to get? But yet these people don't understand these things. In other words, these vipers are against the white man, just like they are today. They hate Adam. They hated Adam since their father hated Adam in the garden, because the devil would not worship Adam as commanded by Yahweh, and therefore he was cast out from his first estate. The world lies to you and tells you it's just because of pride, but they don't tell you, yes, it was a pride, but they didn't tell you why. See, it's like they told partial truth, which is a way of lying. So it continues, "This cruelty that the Jews have done throughout all the centuries and everything in all the ages, this cruelty and this sadism has later always revealed itself where they have intervened, especially in those lands where they were successful in introducing their totalitarian dictatorship, in example, in the so-called socialist or communist states." You know what that is, right? You know about the Bolshevik Revolution? You know the communism of Mao, and he killed millions. You know about how when they Mao got their guns away, then he killed them, right? And the same thing happened to the Armenian Christians. They took the guns away from them, and they gave up their guns, and then they killed them. And they want to do that here so badly. They want to spill our blood. How can you not see these things, ladies and gentlemen? How is it possible that all this has escaped you and you still will fight to the death for these Jews? I just don't, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's so easy to see. But the problem is if you're not seeking the truth, you won't find it. Seek the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In other words, you have to do a little work and seek the truth. Or else if you don't, you're going to be held captive. So it continues. The Holy Gospels show us clearly three of the weapons that have been the favorites of Jewry in its struggle against Christianity, and still are: deception, slander, and crime. These three were even used mercilessly against Jesus Christ, and later they used the same against the whole of mankind, so that it has brought them the name which they bear so rightly as the fathers of deceit and calumny. Let's look up the word calumny. I don't know how you say it. Calumny? The fathers, and that's lowercase f, of deceit and calumny. Calumny. Let's see how you say it. We'll find out in a sec.
Calumny.
Calumny. Okay. The making of false and defamatory statements about someone in order to damage their reputation. Slander. A bitter struggle marked by calumny and litigation. A false and slanderous statement. Do we see the Jews slandering our people today and slandering anyone that opposes them today? Are they the fathers of deceit and calumny? They certainly are. It is amazing to me how clear and precise it all is that these Jews are guilty of everything that has been claimed against them. They're guilty. And it's so easy to see. It's just amazing that the great deception can take place and people be blind to what's really being done to them, has been done to them, etc., etc. So it continues, with these despicable weapons, and those weapons I'll repeat again are deception, slander, which is calumny, and crime. With these despicable weapons, they easily discourage even the most resolute defenders of our belief, who are subjected without remedy to the treacherous attacks of the agents of Jewry smuggled into the church. The supreme ruler and leader of Israel, the high priest Caiaphas, the chief priests, the elders, the judges, scribes, Herodians, and even the influential Pharisees were responsible for the murder of God. For at first the popular mass followed Christ, and those who planned his death feared the people. However, gradually the priests and leaders poisoned the climate and led the people against Jesus, until finally they were successful in bringing the masses into opposition with their Messiah, as the following passage of the Gospel according to St. Matthew proves. Matthew 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas to destroy Jesus and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out in the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Then Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing when he saw that, but rather that a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The passage alone already represents a proof of the complete guilt of the Jews for the murder of Jesus Christ. It also proves the responsibility that the Jewish people had for this crime. For even if its religious and civil leaders and its legal representatives had previously conceived, prepared, and completed it, then nevertheless the mass of the people could have prevented it at the last hour. Asking for Jesus instead of Barabbas. Instead of that, it demanded the freeing of the latter and the crucifying of Jesus, even though as a result the blood of the Son of God would descend upon them and their descendants. You know, unfortunately, some of the Israelite people, what you're noticing there, got caught into this thing and participated in it, were brainwashed by the Jews or by the spirit that was around them, which Satan must have been in that crowd. So it was a very demonic thing happening when they were crying for his crucifixion. You know what I mean? And this is something that you should think about sometime. We'll go on to chapter 8 next week. The apostles condemn the Jews for the murder of Christ. But this is something to think about. This was talked about later in the book of Acts when Peter told them that they had participated in this, speaking of Israelites, and they were pricked in their hearts, it said. You know, I always give a good piece of advice at the end of the Rabbit Hole Radio Show, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole.
Just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lines that they told erased.